It's somewhat infrequent that January 6th, or Epiphany, falls on a Sunday, but here we are. Today, January 6th, is Epiphany. In Tarpon Springs, Florida, where what is said to be the world's largest Epiphany celebration is held, the day has already begun with a special mass celebrated at 8 a.m. at St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral. Later in the morning, following the release of a dove and a special blessing spoken by Archbishop Demetrios of the Greek Orthodox Diocese of America, young men from the church will compete, diving into the cold waters of Spring Bayou, hoping to be the one who surfaces holding the white cross that was tossed into the murky waters by the Archbishop. This celebration in Tarpon Springs has a long history. The event is steeped in tradition, church tradition, biblical tradition, family tradition. Diving into the water is a reminder of the gift of baptism, of God's claim on and blessing of life. It's a great honor to be the one who captures that white cross, not only for the boy, but for his whole family as well, because the belief is that the winner, their family will be blessed throughout the year. 10,000 visitors are expected to come to Tarpon Springs this year to witness the Epiphany celebration there. In preparation for this day, the young divers have spent a year studying the Bible and considering how God is at work in and through their lives. It's hoped that this year of study and a morning filled with tradition, ceremony, and celebration will help these young men connect with an epiphany in their own lives. Interesting, isn't it? Please pray with me. O God of light, send your spirit into our midst. As we ponder Christ's birth in light of the words of Scripture read this morning, may we find a glimmer of promise, a ray of hope, a beam of light that inspires and guides us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We three kings of Orient are, how many of you know this? Know it maybe even by heart? Are there some who are unfamiliar with that hymn? Yeah? I think it's fairly familiar, and tradition places those three kings at the manger, right in the scene with the shepherds and the angels. Maybe our kings are close to the manger right now. No, they're still traveling. See? And, well, they should be. They went a long way. Each king carries a gift: gold, frankincense, myrrh. In most churches, these kings are part of the Christmas pageant. Regally entering the church as people sing, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, they travel afar." The kings have arrived. It's Epiphany. Well, my friends, our pageant is over and done, but the message of Christmas continues to beckon to us. We should not forget the camel. Thank you. A careful look at Matthew's account of the wise men's visit to Jesus reveals that although three gifts were presented to the child, the number of people presenting those gifts is unspecified. Tradition may have led us to understand that these men, these people, were kings, but Matthew doesn't use that word. The original Greek text labels the men as magoi, a word most often translated, and appropriately so, as wise men. The original Greek was used to describe individuals who were trained in astrology and dream interpretation. My Greek dictionary says that an alternate translation for magoi or magoi is magicians. The word magi is, in fact, related to the word magic. So, do you believe in magi? So I see Jenny smiling, and actually my daughter, when I told her the title of my sermon, had to giggle a little bit, and I admit it's a little bit whimsical, it takes you back, now you know my age, because in my head as I was writing, I was hearing, "Do you believe in magic?" So, do you believe in magi? Do you believe in magic? This account of visitors from a strange land is only found in Matthew's gospel. One might wonder whether this event actually happened, and if it did, is there any wisdom that it can offer us today? Matthew tells us that the Magi came to Jerusalem from the east. Scholars suggest that the Magi were astrologers, people who looked to the heavens for portents of significant events. Ancient writers, including Pliny, attest to the fact that Magi did travel west to visit important kings. So Matthew's account of the wise men is grounded in historic precedent. The gospel uses this event, the visit of foreign astrologers, those considered to be scientists and priests of their own time, to herald the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. In Matthew's birth narrative, no shepherds have appeared. There has been no heavenly host announcing the birth of the Christ child. The wise men are this child's first visitors. Jesus, this child born of Mary, is the one who has come to save God's people. And yet it is not Israel's own priests who herald his arrival. It is wise men, foreign dignitaries, outsiders, who are the first people to announce the arrival and to worship this king who has been born in Bethlehem. The kings also announce what is to be a central theme of Matthew's gospel. God's grace is not limited to the people of Israel. Jesus' birth is good news for all people. The church's celebration of Epiphany is much more than a recounting of a tale about magi. The kings are signs of God's far-reaching, radical grace. In the early church, Epiphany was one of three major feasts of the liturgical calendar. In many traditions, Epiphany is not just a day, but rather an entire liturgical season, a whole season of revelation. According to Professor Dirk Lang, Epiphany in the early church was not about the arrival of the Magi, but about the revelation of Jesus Christ at his baptism to the whole world as God's only and beloved Son. Epiphany is God's self-revelation to the world, the beginning of Christ's public ministry. Along with Easter and Pentecost, note, there's no Christmas in here, Epiphany was one of the three major feasts of the liturgical calendar around which faith communities organized the rhythms of their life. In the Presbyterian tradition, Epiphany is celebrated on a single day. A single day. But on this day, we have the opportunity to join the Magi, to celebrate God's call to us, to think about the epiphanies, the revelations that have occurred in our own lives, and to worship the way the kings did, with overwhelming joy. Most importantly, the church's celebration of Epiphany is a reminder that God's love is for all people, that God's call is not only to insiders, but to outsiders, people like the Magi, who were inspired by a star, who embarked on a journey, who listened to God's voice calling them to see and to witness, to be drawn into the light, to worship anew, and for them, a very foreign king. God has called you and me to worship and serve. Friends, we are insiders. But the darkness of our world today tells us that there are many who are outsiders. Folks who may be looking for a ray of hope, a light for their path. God's Epiphany is for them as well. Now, you've heard how one community in Florida will celebrate today. I read that in East Harlem, the Hispanic community will celebrate with their annual Three Kings Day parade, which is complete with camels, musicians, and kings. The reason I found that out is because I was looking for a celebration which I've known to happen in Hartford, sometimes on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, where three men dressed up prayed on camels through the streets of Hartford. Didn't find that one. But I did find out that in Guilford, Connecticut, they'll have a steel drum band concert to celebrate the Three Kings Day, the 12th night. Here, in this place, you have been marked with stars, a sign that you have been called to the light of Christ, a sign that you have been called to be the light of Christ for others. Here we celebrate by sharing communion at this table, where we remember God's abundant gift in Christ Jesus. At this table, all are welcome. At this table, we acknowledge that we are part of something much bigger than the community that's gathered here this morning. When we gather together in worship, we are in the company of people from all nations and ages. We are the resident manifestation of God's expansive realm. The resident manifestation of God's expansive realm. We are part of the multitude who have been called and claimed by God, magi, saints, martyrs, and the faithful of all generations. The prophet Isaiah foretold a time when a great throng would press forward, join together in a procession toward the light of God. We who have gathered here today are part of that throng. Matthew's gospel speaks of wise people. They came from Persia or maybe Babylon. They were astrologers, people who read signs that were written in the night sky. They were foreigners, clearly, and Gentiles, probably. They were definitely people who allowed themselves to be drawn by a small shimmering light in the night sky and led into an encounter with Jesus. What a strange king they encountered after that long trek. Just a small child, and yet they were filled with joy, awe-inspired, compelled to fall down at his feet and worship him. What is clear in this ancient story is the sense that God has done something wonderful, something that impacts all of humankind. So, what about you? Do you believe in magi? Are you prepared to wonder, to embrace the wonder and mystery of God's holy call on your particular life? Here is my charge to you this morning. Gaze, wonder, dream. Follow whatever star you have found in the sky or the ray of hope that lodges in your heart, whatever it is that leads you to a journey of discovery. Pay attention. Believe. Shine. Amen.